Welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Sykes.
Well, good morning. This is Don Creech.
And this is Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show, everyone.
You got a little bit of chuckle in your voice there. Perry, sounds like you guys are having fun in the studio.
You know, it's amazing that we can still have a blast with what we get paid to do this. It's fantastic. So.
Okay, well, welcome, everybody. So you hear the disclaimer from KVI. The opinion station in the Puget Sound area has no opinion about anything that goes on Saturday.
Indeed.
Or probably Sunday. But this is live radio. There's a lot of recorded stuff on the air today, but this actually gives you an opportunity to call in and talk with both either one of us. Both of us usually have an opinion. So the magic numbers, 888-312-5757, 888-312-5757, and this is the magic week. It ends on the first Saturday of the month, which will be April 3rd, and that is our normally scheduled monthly stock market update. And if you have not yet registered, there is time to do so. Go to the website iriradio.com. That's iriradio.com. Lower left-hand corner of the website, couple of clicks, your email, and you will get a link to join us next Saturday. And if you cannot join us because for whatever reason, something else has priority, like a honey-do list or grandkids, yeah, I understand. You'll get a replay link, and you can watch it on your own schedule. You can still ask us questions by giving us a call during the week at 800-317-9119 or by email help@iriradio.com. Well, this is an interesting week because the market has been dealing with cross currents to determine leadership. We've had rising rates, which are incompatible with growth stocks. Mostly that means technology. The Dow, however, did manage to close up about 1.3% for the week. Qs made it up almost a percentage. That's the QQQ NASDAQ 100 ETF. Closed up almost 1%, but it's below some very significant moving averages. The NASDAQ itself was negative over 0.5% and below a whole bunch of moving averages. So there's what we're looking at is people are just trying to figure out what on earth is going on. And let's start with the Fed and Janet Yellen, both of whom testified at Congress this week. And some of it was a little testy as congressmen or senators got a little confrontational, and Mrs. Yellen did not like having her position challenged.
Challenged at all, sure.
Yeah, she had a few words for those congressmen. Anyway, the Fed printed $114 billion. Let me say, well, what, you know, they've been doing that for a long time. Yes, they've been doing that monthly for a long time, but this was weekly. That is an acceleration of the Fed's intervention into the market, and it wasn't until Friday that things kind of rallied, because the trend for the last 2 weeks has been, yeah, it's been that rain drip, drip, drip,
little
drip.
Choppy,
I guess that's
choppy.
A leaky faucet. Yeah. It's just been, so they're over $100 billion in a single week, and I mean, stocks did finally manage to close up at the end of the week. That left the Dow up 8 for the year. The NASDAQ has managed to be up 1.9 year to date. So we're 3 months into the year, and we are not even at, in technology, we're not even at a 6% annual return rate. Further, it's below some major technical indicators, which means it's still weak. Had a good rally, but it's still weak. One of the things that is not weak, but I wonder if the investors who are chasing this are weak or mentally impaired. Junk bonds.
Junk bonds.
There's two typical indicators in the ETF world, JNK and HYG. Now, junk means there's something wrong with the creditworthiness of these companies. Like, you know, it wouldn't take a lot to make them file for bankruptcy.
But they are known these days as high yield. They don't call them junk anymore.
Yeah, but the ticker still sounds a lot like junk.
They still have the junk ticker. Yeah, it used to be okay. Now, we could sell more of this if we call it high yield instead of junk. So
yeah, but high isn't very high anymore. And high yield used to be 8 to 11. You know, on a good cycle, you pick up 12%. Now
they're high risk, but not necessarily high yield. So
people are paying financially unsound prices for bonds to pick up a 4% yield.
Sure.
I mean, so where's the weakness? I mean, weakness is in the financial statements, but what about managing your risk exposure when you're chasing a 4% yield on CCC credits or close to it? I mean, it is one of the things about which the market has some significant confusion. Most of the time, people are buying bonds because they want to be safe. But I'm getting 4%, so that's good enough. Safety, you know, the Fed's going to buy my bonds if they start going bankrupt, aren't they?
You have to make that leap of faith there and say, hey, I need the 4%, so I'm just going to take the risk. And you begin to ignore the risk and say, well, that 4%, it's probably safe, isn't it? It's probably safe. It's like, don't forget where you are there. Those are junk bonds. So there's a reason they're paying that rate.
One way to get perspective is join us next Saturday right after the show for our monthly stock market update. And fortunately, it will be April 3rd and not April Fool's. So, but who knows what I'm going to find this week to put in the show.
Indeed. We never know what shows up there. That's right.
So register at iriradio.com, iriradio.com, lower left-hand corner of the website, couple of clicks, your email, and you will be set. You have to give us your email. I told somebody about it, and she said the site wanted my email. I said, well, yeah, we have to send you an access code.
Yeah, you have to be online, and we have to know where to send the invitation. That's correct.
Yeah, I didn't realize she was such a conspiracy person, but she didn't want to put her email online. It's okay. Anyway, well, what's going to move the economy and the market upward would be more consumer spending. And how are we going to afford consumer spending? Well, we have a national credit card that has just been approved by Congress, and they are going to give us tons of money. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to do anything. We just have to look like we're in need. And Congress is going to line your bank account on the premise that you are going to spend the money. Of course, what you do after you spend that money, I don't know how you keep the economy going. And that is the big question. But the national credit card will still have outstanding balance. You know, we don't think of this as a national credit card, but that's basically what we're doing. We have abandoned a long time ago the socially unacceptable word of welfare. Nobody's on welfare anymore, but right this last year, not everybody, but a whole lot of people have been on public support. And we now have another $1.9 trillion that is in the pipeline. I say that, and I realize they haven't spent $1 trillion of the last bill.
True enough.
Now, maybe that's what the Fed is using to.
But try like you
and
said, Don, looking at that as a national credit card is a really good exercise, just to get everybody thinking about what's going on here. You know, we're quote getting more stimulus, and what we're getting is, of course, more debt that we own. That's debt that's going to get paid back at some point, and that goes on our tab. It's good to take a look at that and remember that's not just, you know, free money that comes from thin air. That's free money that goes on the debt of the United States of America, and we pay for that as taxpayers.
Well, as I mentioned just a moment ago, Fed Chairman Powell and Treasury Secretary Yellen were in testimony in Congress this week, and they did acknowledge economic optimism. Because if they showed up and said, hey, man, this is really tough and it's going to get worse, they would have been looking for special protection on the way out of the institution or maybe on the way to another one. In any event, they said, yeah, we are going to recover. We are waiting for data to confirm it. And that data may be a long way off before we're comfortable raising interest rates. Well, the market doesn't care. I mean, we tell you all that time that the market doesn't care in our promos.
Yeah.
So investors do care. And the longer term rates have been rising, and the Fed doesn't really mess with that. However, if it gets bad enough, they can step in and buy those bonds and push that rate down, though they've said they won't. Of course, Japan has said for... what is it now? We're on four decades of saying
that's
we're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they set the standard for quantitative easing. But, you know, if Powell and his buddies would spend some time on websites looking at department stores, shoe companies, I mean, just go to Amazon for Pete's sake.
Sure.
They'd find that many styles and colors of clothing and other items aren't even available. There's no stock that they can ship. So prices have been rising. In fact, you've been to the grocery store lately. You've probably noticed that. Or the gas pump, you know, that's creeping up. Of course, the state doesn't help when they want to put more taxes on the gas. But we're buying so much stuff that retailers just simply cannot keep inventory in stock. And when that's, you know, you remember supply-demand from high school.
And that never changes. It's always true. If there's a huge demand and a low supply, prices go up every single time. That's the way it works.
So you meant, if you were listening to the news before we came on the air, they mentioned the Suez Canal is blocked.
Boy,
and those pictures are nasty.
That's amazing.
I think Friday morning I saw a live map, aerial, and there are over 300 ships that are now at anchor in the canal or trying to get into it. If they're northbound, they're stuck in it. If they're southbound, but that's a lot of cargo. However, things have improved, not a lot, but improved at LA and Long Beach. And for a while, they were so backed up down there a couple of weeks ago, they're actually pushing ships up here to Vancouver and Seattle, Tacoma to offload product just to get it off the ships and back out into sea. But those things are, you know, they're slightly better, but this is really backing up all sorts of supply. In fact, I told my wife last night, which I had told her the week before, she likes to buy her own coffee beans and I get to grind them, make her own coffee. I said, you know, you might want to buy some extra bags of coffee. We'll put them in the freezer because between bad weather and the inability to get empty containers to ship coffee, expect coffee prices to rise along with a lot of other product. The economic expansion that we are supposed to have, normally that requires more jobs. I don't think the Democrats understand that because they're doing opposite.
Not if you can hand out more money. That's
kind of, that's the offset, right?
That's their substitute for that. And that's what they're working on right now. But that never ends well. You can't just hand out money forever. And we can keep talking about the economy and the price of coffee right after our break here, Don. It's time for us to get out of here. I'd like to remind everyone that next Saturday we are having our monthly market update. Going to talk about what's going on out there in the market, the economy in general, and we always spend time getting your questions answered. If you have questions about the market or the economy, or if you have questions about specific securities that you're thinking about buying or something you do have and you're wondering if it's time to get rid of it, it's a great time to get a second opinion. You can register for that at iriradio.com. That is iriradio.com. Just go to the webinar page and click the registration link. You will get an email back, and that has the link in it that next Saturday after the show, you give that a click and you'll be live online with us. You'll be able to see what we're what we look at on our charts, give you a little better idea about what it is we're thinking about the market. It's a great time to get a little bit of clarity until the following month, because you never know what's going on out there. But we can give you a little clarity about what's going on right now anyway. If you've got questions for us this morning, feel free to give us a call. 888-312-5757. That is 888-312-5757. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Live and local, you're listening to Investor Resources. This is your opportunity to call in and have your questions answered. The lines are open at 1-888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. Or email your question to help at irradio.com. Don and Perry will be right back.
Let's take it higher, take it higher. And that's what every investor wants to have happen to the market. And so does the Fed. There's no conflict of interest there, as Mr. Powell puts more money out into the system. He has substantial personal wealth in the stock market. So who's he helping? Him and the rest of the Fed bankers. But be that as it may, he doesn't consider that a conflict of interest. We were talking about the national credit card called $1.9 trillion authorized by Congress recently. Uncle Sam can borrow more money and at cheaper rates than you and I can, with borrowing for the Fed at about, well, less than 2% or around that on average. I bet you can't do that on your credit card.
Not me.
No, you're going to have to multiply that by a good 10 times or more. But anyway, the real problem here is that while we're handing out money, it's not productive. We said, well, they go buy stuff, yes. But productive use of money is when a corporation or a small business goes to the bank and says, I want to borrow X dollars, and this is what I'm going to do with it to expand the business, hire more people, make more profit, and that's how I'm going to pay you back. This is, we're just going to borrow money. And as everyone knows, the government never pays it back. We just build up debt. And how can this go on forever? It goes on until it collapses. We don't know when that day is going to be. But so far, the dollar is still considered the safest place to be globally for cash, with one of the most bankrupt institutions in the world. There's one more conundrum that investors have to deal with, but that's where we are. Now, Steve has a price a question about price. Steve from Linwood, you have the microphone, sir.
Yeah, good morning. This is kind of out of your area maybe, but I understand that King County is going to up the wages of the grocery workers, I believe, as hazardous duty pay by $4 an hour. So I was wondering, is King County paying that out of the tax system, or is it supposed to be picked up by the consumers?
Price of goods always gets passed on to the consumers, just like corporate taxes. Corporations don't pay tax. They're just a revenue collection entity for Congress. When they raise corporate taxes, the cost of operations goes up, and if the cost of operation goes up and you want to stay in business, the consumer is going to pay for it. So the King County, if they're getting a handout in this $1.9 trillion, they may be doing that. But what you're basically looking at is socialism on display, and wage management by government never ends well. That's a good question, Steve. Thanks for the call. Glad you're out there. Well, that frees up a line. You want to give us a call? It's 888-312-5757, 888-312-5757, and register for our week in, not our week, well, you can register for week in review. All you have to do is send us an email, help@iriradio.com, put week in review in the subject line. We need your first and last name in order to put your put the distribution into constant contact, which if for some reason you are the exception to the rule and you want to unsubscribe, it's a one-click process, and you never, ever get an email from us. You'll always be able to hear from us when you tune into KVI. But let's talk about technology. We have had questions about whether or not this is another tech bubble because tech has not been doing well. In fact, I looked at Apple from the January high, and it's down 15%. And from a fundamental standpoint,
which, by the way, isn't unusual. That does happen, but it always seems odd that Apple's off 15%. That just seems like that's not possible.
Well, even from last September's high, it's still down 7.5%, and that's just normal. And so, people who believe in Apple, they believe in Apple. They don't look at some of the financials, though they've got a ton of cash. I mean, so this is where you take a long-term hold and say, I believe in the product. And a long-term hold is, you know, I listened to Larry Kudlow, mentioned him last week when I couldn't remember his last name. Thanks to Perry, I did get it back in my in our subject line. But he's back on, well, you know, the market's up and down, and I just buy index funds, and I just hang on to them. And I'm thinking, yeah, for a guy who probably makes somewhere between $10 and $20 million a year on TV, you don't really care what the stock market does.
It's going to be okay. That last little dip is not going to affect your lifestyle one little bit, and that makes all the difference.
But when you don't have that kind of money coming in every month, then, and this is your retirement, now you do need to pay attention to what's going on. And investor sentiment typically tends towards overreactions, not just reactions, but overreactions to anything that happens. And we had that last year with the pandemic, onset of the pandemic and global lockdown. So we got a 34% S&P decline in 6 weeks. Technology dropped even more. It was something over 50. And then the alarm went off at the Federal Reserve Bank. And they said, oh, my goodness, Mr. Powell must have looked at his monthly statement. And he said, oh, that doesn't feel so good. At least it doesn't look good. Maybe we should do something about it. And so they churned up the, it's not an official money printing press, but it kind of looks that way. They just make digital journal entries. The Fed actually has its own cryptocurrency, doesn't it?
They do.
It's not distributed.
Yeah, you just change the number.
Yeah. So anyway, we had this big crash, and then we got a lot of things that had a massive run-up. Bitcoin was one of them. We've had other things that, we had the Reddits, right? The Reddit trading group.
You betcha.
And so they took some bankrupt companies and turned them into speculative investments. And GameStop actually was able to raise a little bit of cash along the way and avoid going into bankruptcy. And they did that with a few others. So they had bet on JCPenney. They didn't win on that one. It still went bankrupt, got bought out for pennies on the dollar. And all those speculators were out of pocket some serious money. But the technology is trying to work its way back up. One of the problems here is actually that interest rates are not allowing it to do that. As long as interest rates are rising, then the math of investing begins to make intangibles a little more difficult to bet on when you can actually bet on something that generates real money and has real assets standing behind it, and it's not just somebody's idea anymore. So the question right now, is there any rotation? And where we see that evident is that the Dow Jones is actually outperforming tech, but the Dow doesn't have a lot of tech in it, where the S&P and the S&P and the technology do. So it's kind of we got to figure this out, and that's what we use a lot of indicators for, and we're going to talk about some of those in the market update on next Saturday, which you can register for at irradio.com, irradio.com. And we'll see how this rotation works. One of the things that's really changed has been the position of commodities. If we go back a month, commodities were at the top of the list, maybe 2 months ago. And I've been updating my end of week risk on, risk off report that I send out to advisors. And commodities have dropped to the bottom of the list. And one of our rules is we don't want to own things that are performing worse than cash. Worse than cash is not good.
that is never a good thing. And that's just just hearing you say that, Don, that's an amazing thing to say. Hey, you know, a week ago, commodities were at the top of the list. Now they're at the bottom of the list. That's how fast the market moves out there. That's how fast any metric that you're following in the market these days, or in the economy in general, for that matter, can change. And you have to have a portfolio system that's going to adapt to that. Otherwise, you just take whatever's coming. And unless you have an unlimited amount of time to wait for it to work out for you, it may not. And to have swings that big happen in the investment market and say, well, I'm just going to ignore that, just doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. There's just no way that makes any sense for anyone with that is not independently wealthy and doesn't care what market returns are at any given time. Outside of that, you need to pay attention to that. And we do that. And like you said, Don, next Saturday, that's when we're going to have our next market update to let you know what it is that we're looking at out there, what those rotations have done to portfolios for our clients, and what you can do to protect some capital instead of just saying, well, I'm just going to let this market roll over my portfolio and we'll work it out later. It just doesn't matter. And the fact of the matter is, it does matter. Our market update will give you a good idea about what's going on out there and what you can do to protect some capital. That's the name of the game. It's much more important to protect what you have than try to beat an arbitrary index out there all the time. So don't worry about beating the Dow or the NASDAQ or the S&P. What's important is preserving the capital that you've spent your entire life saving, and now you're going to make that work for you for the rest of your life. You don't want to see a 40 or 50% hole blown in that portfolio because the market went sideways. And you can avoid that if you're paying attention to what's going on. And again, you can register for those for that webinar at irradio.com. That is irradio.com. It is time for our bottom of the hour break here. If you have a question for us this morning, feel free to give us a call at 888-312-5757. That is 888-312-5757. You are listening to Investor Resources here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Stay with us. We will be right back.
You're listening to Investor Resources. Check out our website at irradio.com and log on for a free report. That's irradio.com. Don and Perry are waiting to answer your questions now at 1-888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757.
So we're looking for strength in our portfolios, and unlike Mr. Kudlow, while we are long-term investors, we are not buying anything on the premise that it will survive anything in the economy at any time, because the economy has very specific cycles where different sectors and industries do well. Some of them do well in recessions. Some of them do well as we come out of a recession. Others do well as we are approaching market tops, and others do well as the economy rolls over out of its growth phase and heads towards another recession. Those cycles are evident in any study of economic history, and that nothing that the Fed or Congress can do is going to stop those cycles. So the market responds to current conditions or its anticipation of conditions in the fairly near term. The standard investment process is, well, I know we need to be prepared for a recession, so we'll buy some of this. And we think technology is going to take over the next phase. So we're going to buy some tech, but then I want some income. So I'm going to buy some bonds and I might buy some utilities, some aristocrat dividend payers. That would be good. And basically what we're going to do is go to the grocery store of the stock market and we're going to walk up and down every single aisle and just kind of grab some stuff that's packaged pretty.
It's true, and that's supposed to work for you. And if you think about anywhere else in your life, you would never operate that way. You couldn't do it. You don't get up in the morning and leave your house and say, well, let's see here, I better have my swimsuit on because I might go swimming, and snow pants in case it snows, and a tank top in case it's hot, and an umbrella, and maybe some ski boots, and let's go. We're good to go. You know, it's like that's not going to work for you. You would never do that. But that's what they're telling you to do with your portfolio. Let's get ready for everything all at once and then just not worry about what happens. Not a good plan.
Well, that's one of the reasons that we've seen an increase in the amount of advertising for gold. Because, one, the government's borrowing more money. Debt's not good. Okay, I agree with that.
Sure.
But is gold the answer? That certainly has not been. Gold has, while it's had some recovery over the last year, when we go back and look at 2011, the high, it's still struggling. And I just mentioned a minute ago that we look at how are things doing against some benchmarks. One of our benchmarks is cash. If it's underperforming cash, we do not want to own it. Now, I will say that last year there was a period of time where we had gold in some of our portfolios.
We've got nothing against gold. Yeah, gold's great. So we've owned gold, silver, gold miners, silver miners. They're all fine. You just don't own it forever. It's cyclical, just like you said, Don, just like everything else. There are good times to own it and bad times to own it, and that's what people forget sometimes.
So in both our sector screening and our macroeconomic screens, gold is below cash, along with some other favorite areas, biotech, emerging markets, bonds. Yeah, they end up below cash. And so the question that we have for those of you who have a diversified portfolio from your friendly broker down the street or your longtime personal friend who became a financial advisor, it's kind of like the guy back in the 70s, 60s, and 70s when Boeing engineers all became life insurance agents, you know.
Correct. Not voluntarily, but they did, yeah.
The people lost their jobs in the Great Recession just a decade ago. Many of them replaced the financial advisors who had enough and quit. There was a lot of terminations after the collapse of 08 and 09. But anyway, we're looking at what's at the top. Well, interestingly enough, over the last month, the only thing that's been outperforming the S&P 500 has been the Dow Jones. It's had energy and financials. Utilities have been up in that category. And utilities now on a sector list over the last month been the best performing area and sector. And that happens to be an indication of people are frightened about what's going on in the market. It's not making any sense. And so why do you buy utilities? As for us, it's a risk-off indicator. Risk-off means you got to be careful. Maybe you shouldn't be in the market. There are, well, let's take mutual funds. Mutual funds can't go to cash. I mean, they're there to manage being in the market. So when things that they would normally invest in are losing money, they can still be in the market with utilities and get better cash flow than they would if they bought bonds. And a stock mutual fund, while it can buy some bonds, it's not going to ever buy a lot. And even with the things that are going down that they don't like anymore, they can't get rid of them. You know, that's the reason that if you look at a mountain chart on performance, there's always big dips when we're in a bear market because you can't defend against losing money by hanging on to stuff that is losing money.
Think about that for a second. That makes perfect sense, but that is what happens. And when everything is going down together, which happens in a significant drawdown, if you're in that pie chart portfolio, the advice is, well, you know, we're in this for the long run. Just hold on. Don't change anything. Lose as much money as the market decides that you're going to lose, and then wait 10, 15, 25 years to get even again. And that's the way that process works. And if you're in retirement or near retirement, you just can't afford that. You can't afford a 25% drop in your portfolio value. It's just too much loss that you spend an entire lifetime accumulating. That's the key. You know, it took a long time to put that money together. You can't just let it walk away on the whim of what the stock market's doing over the next 6 months, say. You can't let that destroy your chance for a retirement income. But that's what happens if you do nothing. And, you know, like I said, Don, right now, the bottom of the list, you know, biotech and bonds and emerging markets, we've owned all of those. All of those have been in our portfolio. It's just a question of when are they in your portfolio? And the answer should not be all the time. That's never the correct answer.
So there can be a variety of reasons why stocks sell off. And to get some insight to that, you should probably register for next Saturday's update on the stock market. Go to IRIradio.com, our monthly update, April 3rd. IRIradio.com, lower left-hand corner, and a couple of clicks in your email, and you will be set to participate. We do have a Q&A, and we stay on until we answer the very last one of those questions. We don't cut it off just because the clock ticks to 10.
And we do get great questions from you folks. We appreciate that.
So anyway, markets do sell off for a variety of reasons. Sometimes they're related to really bad news on some specific company or something the government does, like say we're going to raise taxes and take your money away from you.
That'll do it.
So that can generate a broad market sell-off. Sometimes it's just because investors must get bored or they sour for some reason, and then things drop. And that's kind of what's happened to growth stocks in the recent weeks. Now, why is still an issue of debate, and frankly, will never be exactly known.
Never get there, yeah.
But there'll be a lot of theories about why it has gone on. Square, for instance, that's that little cubicle, little square thing that
I've
they
used
come
that
by.
Sure thing.
Yeah, you know, swipe your credit card here, and you say, you know, it looks just like a wafer. Well, it's not much bigger than that. Well, it's a little bigger than that. Anyway, in 13 days, down 32%. Yeah, there's a fun ride. And 6 days later, it's up 30, which doesn't make it even. But then it falls another 15. I mean, this is roller coaster area, and that is not all that uncommon particularly this last year.
Absolutely, yeah.
Volatility is essential if you're going to make money in the stock market. The question is, how do you limit your downside volatility while you still participate in the upside? Because no volatility is what you get when you go to the bank and have no interest. Nope, nothing to pay you there.
It's so, nice, smooth ride, but you're not going to make any money there. You're never going to fund your future. And like you said, Don, everybody loves the upside volatility. Upside volatility is a lovely thing. Markets are going up fast. They're going up and they continue. That's great. That is high volatility in the right direction. But if it turns south, then that's when you have to have a discipline that's going to say, okay, I have a limit to the amount that I'm going to take on the downside before I do something, before I change what I'm doing, before I change the position of my portfolio. And that pie chart portfolio is just not going to do that. They're not going to change. It's going to stay the same, and you're just going to ride it out. And so if the market's down 40%, so are you. And if the market's down 80%, so are you. And that's not protecting your capital. That is not protecting your hard-earned money that you have saved up for buying a house, sending your kids to college, or to fund your retirement. That's not going to protect it. In fact, it's not supposed to protect it, which is why your phone's going to start ringing as soon as you start losing a ton of money, but your broker's just going to be saying, well, we're not going to do anything, and here's why. You just need to hang in there because that's the way our system works, because it's easier for them. But you don't have to put up with that. You really don't have to just sit back and say, well, I'm going to take it because my broker said that's what they do. And next weekend, April 3rd, Saturday, right after the show, we're going to have our market update. We're going to show you what it is that we do with client accounts, how it is we look at the market, and how different it is from modern portfolio theory, which that's what they use to produce that pie chart. And you're going to see that there's no reason to have a static asset allocation that doesn't change based on a risk return questionnaire you took. There's no reason to put yourself through that. That is not a good way to build wealth going forward. That's a good way to build wealth for whoever handed you the pie chart. And if you would like to register for that webinar, just go to IRIradio.com. That is IRIradio.com. Go to the webinar page and click the registration link. You're going to get an email back, and then next Saturday after the show, just click that link, and you'll be live online with us, and you'll be able to see the charts that we're talking about, see the differences between what goes on in the market in buy and hold, and why it's important to have a portfolio that adjusts quickly to what's going on in the market, because it does change so often. So again, you can register for that at IRIradio.com. If you've got questions for us this morning, feel free to give us a call, 888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. We have an entire segment left. Plenty of time to get your question up on the board. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away.
Yeah, you just stay at the table forever. Sooner or later, that money's going to disappear.
Sooner with me. Not later. Yeah.
me too.
Yeah.
I mentioned last week the change in inflation that's been going on. We've had a lot of prices rising. I was thinking about gasoline, and it really depends upon when you want to pick your time period to start the calculation. So off of the bottom of the market in 08, gasoline's up 70%. And I was thinking about that, sure, but before the market fell, I was back in Kansas City. My wife's back there for medical treatment for 9 months, and I'm back and forth. And I'm paying $4 a gallon for gasoline. Well, you know, we're approaching that here. Some of that's just taxes. But if they can't get the Suez Canal opened up, or somebody opens up the XL pipeline and restores our national energy independence, expect gasoline to go higher. Even in Olympia, they may have, they're not going to do anything to lower the price. They're just going to tack more on. But when inflation's rising, one of the investor fears is that we're going to go back to a period of the 70s with really high inflation. It peaked government inflation rate was 13.3 back in the late 70s. And market rates were much higher. I mean, I've told the story some years ago. I had a client call me in the late 70s and saying, you know, I'm buying a house and I just got approved for the mortgage and the rate's 21%.
Hello.
Yeah.
That doesn't even seem possible, does it? No, that's not real. I said, oh, yeah, it was.
It was. Yeah, it was. I said, well, you have the income, you have the family need, and you qualify. There's no reason not to proceed with this. And of course, rates fell, so you refinance and house prices went up. I mean, it was a winning deal. It felt uncomfortable at the time. And you think about today with mortgage rates in the high twos, if you've got really good credit, or low threes on a 30 year, you say it was never 21. Well, yes, it was. And with that frame of reference, people are saying, well, gold should be going through the roof. It is not. It's down 20% from August. Why is that? I mean, look at this. The federal government not only just spent $1.9 trillion that it does not have and had to go scavenge the world to find people who would lend us money for the national credit card so that we can go buy stuff that if they didn't send us some money, we probably wouldn't buy.
Right.
We have the Fed with the easiest money policy in history and the Treasury Department under Janet Yellen saying, yeah, it looks good to me. Yeah, okay, so what on earth is going on here? Well, and it's really tied to interest rates. And we look at interest rates on the charts. But what's really important here is inflation-adjusted interest rates. And historically, when inflation-adjusted interest rates are rising, that's bad news for gold.
Gold does not do well then, yeah.
The corollary is also true. If inflation-adjusted interest rates are falling, that's when gold does well. And we are trying to generate economic growth. We have demographic issues that are complicating that problem. And in reality, technology complicates that problem, because increasing technology is a deflationary pressure on the economy.
Because it increases productivity. So it actually lowers the net cost of things once it's implemented successfully.
It also increases value. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that smartphone in your hand. Is more technology, more computing power than NASA had when they put a man on the moon. And you may want to get there, but it's that smartphone's not going to be the tool to do it.
That's not going to work, no. But it's an amazing piece of work. Most people, many people, including us, we can run almost our entire business off our phone. That's an amazing thing, and as long as your eyesight holds out, outside of that little screen, everything else will work. So that's an amazing leap forward in technology, from a telephone being attached to the wall in your kitchen and can't be removed from your home. That's a huge leap, and that's technology. That's the kind of productivity increases that it can produce.
So these rising real interest rates, inflation-adjusted interest rates, are really problematic for gold because it increases the opportunity cost of holding the metal. Since gold pays no interest or dividend, It's going to be less attractive compared to risk-free bonds when real inflation-adjusted interest is rising. I mean, instead of looking just in the long term, well, we had inflation and therefore gold must go up. Well, no, there's other factors that
it's always more complicated than that. It's never a single thing. And the same thing is true with gold. It's never a single thing that's going to drive the price. But you can see environments in which it has a better chance of going up than down. And rising yields is not a good environment for gold.
So before the show, I've been working on working on my end of week risk on, risk off report. And, of course, gold is in there. It's one of the things that we always look at. And so the end of Friday, gold was up. It did have a positive day. Of course, they don't continue with, but it continues in a downtrend. And so we had a good day. We should celebrate, shouldn't we? Well, maybe not so much. But then we have a couple other things like the Qs, the QQQ in the NASDAQ index ETF. So it had a good day too. It was up pretty big time. It had a strong day. It was up almost 1%. But it remains in, it's a shorter term, downtrend. This is where people are getting concerned about what's going on here. Can these companies continue to make this money? Who's going to get the federal money on the handouts to stay in business or expand? Will they use it to expand? There's a lot of questions here. And if interest rates are rising, maybe I've got a little better security in buying something else. That's always a possibility.
Sure.
One of those areas that has done well recently has been energy. Well, in the last couple of days, maybe not so. But the U.S. dollar has strengthened. And the U.S. dollar strengthening is bad for foreign stocks. And there we go again. We hit one of those things that Kenny Rogers was singing about. It was time to take your money off the table in emerging markets and international. With a stronger dollar, most of you are sitting out there, not most of our clients because we don't own any of this stuff, but most of you, 85, 90% of you, have a pie chart that is diversified and you own foreign securities in an economic cycle that does not favor them. But everybody should own some, right? Because you want to be internationally diversified. Well, yes, we do. And we are in the proper time of the cycle. We will own developed international or we will own emerging markets, but only when they are leaders instead of laggards.
And that's the key. We have the opportunity to own those sectors all the time. It's just a matter of, are we making money there or not? And we're not timing when those markets are up or down. We're watching them. And when the cash is flowing in and the prices are increasing, we want to own them. And when the cash is flowing out, the prices are decreasing, it's time to walk away. But you have to be paying attention, or you never even notice that's occurring.
Yeah, oil is one of those other areas. In fact, I think we've pretty well thought that with the Suez Canal blocked, we would see oil prices rise more rapidly than they have. And again, this is one of those that Friday was a good day, but the last 3-4 weeks have not been so good. So if oil really started to accelerate on the world market, then we would see this inflationary scenario coming back into play. Well, we're up at the top of the hour here. We're about ready to run out of our time. But you can get a lot more information about what's going on in the market by registering for next Saturday, right after the show, our monthly stock market update webinar. Go to IRIradio.com. That's IRIradio.com. Lower left-hand corner of the website. Couple of clicks, your email, and you will get a link to join us. And if you can't join us, we will send you a replay link to watch it on your own time. Get our week in review on Mondays by sending us an email, help@iriradio.com. Week in review in the subject line, first and last name in the body. And we are done here. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.